welcome to this week's episode of The Insatiable Appetite. I'm Robert Hashizumi, Senior Analyst at the Hartman Group. I'm joined by someone else who likes to track the cannabis industry, Senior Consultant at the Hartman Group, Robertson Allen.
Hi, Robert. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's so great to that we could discuss this cannabis industry. So, you know, the Hartman Group has been tracking the cannabis marketplace since 2012, when Washington State legalized recreational marijuana. It was one of the first two states, along with Colorado, to legalize recreational marijuana. And it's always been a key topic within our health and wellness reports, trends, food, organic, et cetera, sustainability. So there's always lots of growth with cannabis always going on. So we wanted to see what have been key milestones and developments over the past year or so. So let's first talk about cannabis, and that includes hemp, recreational marijuana, medical marijuana, and CBD. Let's talk about cannabis and health and wellness developments. Since we just released our signature health and wellness report, and we saw that nearly all cannabis users use the product for health reasons, with trying to relax and pain management being the top two conditions being managed.
Yeah, I think it's really telling that, you know, we have continue to see this increased interest in cannabis with mainstream consumers. We do track cannabis use in recreational legal states, and just in the past 2 years since we released our 2019 study, we've seen all these new states come out with laws legalizing or decriminalizing cannabis, THC use especially. You know, and with the COVID pandemic continuing on, there's a lot of relevance there with consumers using it for things like reducing anxiety, you know, getting enough sleep during more stressful times. And I think critically, our latest health and wellness study shown that there is this relative increase in consumers wanting to prevent things like aches and pain. With more people, you know, working in home offices and that sort of thing, and using equipment that they're not quite used to, not as ergonomically kind to bodies, I guess.
Sitting all the time, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's all these different factors that are increasing, making, you know, treating aches and pain more relevant now, and that really coincides to this increased availability and use in cannabis. And in addition to that, there's millennials, and we've seen that among millennials especially, but other populations focusing more on things like alcohol avoidance during this year. Alcohol consumption's gone up across the board, but there is this renewed concern, especially with younger generations, on avoiding alcohol. Cannabis, we've found, has played a part in those different approaches to avoiding alcohol. And so with all of that, our syndicated research shows that 34% of consumers who are living in legal recreational states have used CBD or THC products over the past year. And that's a significant increase of 10 percentage points in the number of consumers who are living in legal recreational states. 10 percentage point increase just in the past 2 years. So, you know, like 2 years ago with our health and wellness study, we were talking about CBD becoming a mainstream chemical or ingredient. And now I think the time is ripe for THC to really become, you know, something that we're talking about as a mainstreaming ingredient in consumer products, food and beverage products.
Interesting. Yeah. So like health and wellness, I just did another podcast on Tom Brady, how he won the Super Bowl. And
right.
He has a totally clean diet, like free of sugar, GMO free, gluten free, all that. But I noticed what he puts into his protein shakes, and he has two cannabis ingredients. So he uses both hemp milk and hemp seeds. So you know, he tries to avoid inflammation, and he says like dairy products cause inflammation. So he's turning to alternative dairy such as hemp milk and then the hemp seeds. So that might been a factor for him winning 7 Super Bowls? I mean, no one else has won 7 Super Bowls. I mean, the second place QBs in terms of winning Super Bowls is like Terry Bradshaw and Joe Montana. They won 4 each, but Tom Brady's done some things no one has ever done before, and possibly it could be because of cannabis products, but
As a loyal Seahawks fan, Robert, I have to say, no comment.
I get that. But, you know, another person I've considered, well, everyone considers the greatest of all time. He's been documented to be a cannabis user as well, and that's Michael Phelps. He's won 23 gold medals, which no one else has done before. And he was actually suspended one time for using marijuana, and he lost his sponsorship with Kellogg's because of that. But that didn't really faze him because he ended up winning more gold medals at the next Olympics in London, I believe. So who else? Like Paul McCartney, he's considered the greatest, most successful singer-songwriter. And he was actually arrested for trying to bring in 0.5 pound of marijuana into Tokyo's Narita Airport, right? So, and, you know, of course, President Obama, I mean, some people may not consider him the greatest, but let's just say he's the president of the greatest country in the world, right? So, and Obama, when he was asked, when he was younger, he tried marijuana, and he said, yeah, I inhaled frequently. That was the point, right? You get that inhaled frequently comment, right? Like, maybe when President Clinton was campaigning for president, he was asked if he tried marijuana, and Clinton said that, I tried it, but I didn't inhale. I didn't like it, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think it all just goes to show just how rapidly mainstream sentiments have really changed, not only in the past, like, 20, 25 years, but really just in the past 2 years. You know, that's something that we're tracking pretty closely.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Don't forget about Martha Stewart and her company, CBD company, as well as John Boehner, former Speaker of the House, who now sits on the board of a cannabis company.
Right. Exactly. Mitch McConnell, he's a huge hemp backer, right? So what about retail? What have you noticed? What's been going on with different states being in different stages of legalization?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's really interesting to pay attention to, especially since I completed a move cross-country from Seattle and now I'm in the D.C. area.
Right.
And just comparing the different markets and the characters of the different markets. I mean, I think Washington State recreational cannabis market is a lot more developed than what I've seen in D.C. I remember seeing out in Seattle and Washington State, there's a much more focused interest on kind of more clean, more aesthetically appealing sort of brands and labels on the products. And a lot of these cannabis brands have really, really good brand narratives around the company itself. And there's just such a wider array of things that are available on the market in terms of edibles, beverages, flowers, all sorts of different kinds of cannabis products. But in D.C., it's much, much different. I mean, it's fully legal in D.C., and there is a regulated market in D.C., but it's just not as product-oriented, I guess. There's not as much of a brand presence in cannabis products in D.C., in the D.C. market. And there's these interesting loopholes that some of the cannabis retailers use, or have to use, actually, because they can't legally sell cannabis. What they can do, though, is sell you a different thing, like, say, a t-shirt for $50, and then gift cannabis to you with that purchase. And then, you know, that might have its own kind of upsides for those retailers, because you are able to use credit cards, and there is a little bit of the less kind of safety, a secure atmosphere if, like in Washington State, retailers are operating just on like a cash-based market. Still fully cash based in Washington State, but there is a little bit kind of a safer market for retailers who can accept credit cards because they're not actually selling cannabis. They're selling things like art, T-shirts, and that sort of thing.
That's because it's still at a federal level. Cannabis is still a Schedule I, you know, narcotic, right? A drug. It's legal, so you can't use credit cards or that would be considered laundering money, right? Because you're purchasing drugs, so to speak.
And then in Virginia, I actually live in Virginia, which has recently passed a law for fully legalizing cannabis over the summer within the state. It's already decriminalized here. But my home state of Tennessee, there's an interesting market going on, even in states like Tennessee, where it's still fully illegal. Albeit in CBD products, especially there's near my hometown, there's in the city of Jonesboro, Tennessee, there's a really interesting like kind of local market that I've seen where there's locally produced hemp and CBD that's derived from hemp, really establishing a good branding, I think, a good labeling that's distinguishing those products from the other kinds of CBD products that you can find in things like gas stations and head shops that may be kind of less reliable, reliably sourced, and not as transparently sourced as some of those more local markets that we see in states like Tennessee.
Oh, I see. Maybe there's less testing and quality control methods, measures.
Yeah, and I feel like that's actually one of the downsides right now of not having a federally regulated market. Is that there are these kind of more iffy products that are out on there, out on the market you can buy online still. And, you know, from a consumer's perspective, there's still probably a lot of confusion out there if you're not buying from a known retailer and a known brand that you can count on.
Right. Interesting. So it still seems like it's such a patchwork of state and city level regulations with no federal oversight, so to speak, right?
What about all these, I know you've been looking at kind of new laws and new states and all the different kinds of markets nationally and globally.
So we're right now in the U.S., we currently have 16 legal recreational states, 48 legal medical states. New York just voted to legalize recreational marijuana, and they're estimating they're going to opening up $350 million in tax revenue, which is needed, right? Because of all the businesses and all the tax revenue lost, right? Shutdowns, and you know you're not paying sales tax, and so you know the government, a lot of government, state governments are in the same situation, but they're welcoming the tax revenue from cannabis, right? So New York is what, the fourth largest populated state in the U.S. So, and I also want to look into Delta THC, which seems to be the new cannabis ingredient, picking up where CBD was. So my understanding is Delta 8 THC, it's sold everywhere, like in gas stations, convenience stores, because of a federal loophole. So, and it could actually get people high, but it is derived from CBD using a process called, was it isomerization? Do you have more information on that?
That's actually something I've seen in Tennessee for sale, and it's interesting. As you know, this is for sale in a fully illegal state still, there's this legal gray area that seems to persist in, depending on where you are. I mean, I feel like there's such a patchwork of laws at the state level and even on the municipal level, that it's really difficult to know what is and isn't legal still.
Yeah, I've heard there's some whispers that there's going to be like a crackdown from the federal agencies saying you can't sell a product that gets you high, even though it's derived from CBD. But yeah, you know, that's down the road, so to speak.
Right.
So yeah, and also global developments you mentioned. So it's not just Canada. It's not just the U.S. that's legalizing among the states. Like Canada as a fully legalized recreational and medical marijuana. They passed that in 2018. Mm-hmm. Mexico just recently passed a bill this past March to legalize marijuana for recreational, medical, and scientific purposes. So the bill would make Mexico one of the largest markets for the legal marijuana industry. Mm-hmm. Canada and Uruguay, another illegal country. So there's all of this drug-related violence and crimes occurring in the country. So they're hoping that by legalizing marijuana, that they'll reduce the drug-related crimes for the country. So, I mean, that's a positive thing, in my opinion. California is legalized recreational marijuana in 2016. And if California was a country, it would be it'd be a larger market than either Canada or Mexico. So it's a heavy hitter. So also South Korea, that was kind of interesting. South Korea, which is pretty harsh and strict on drug consumption, they legalized medical marijuana, which is so surprising. So because they have a zero tolerance policy on any sort of drug. So it seems to be interesting.
That's a fairly recent development, right?
Yeah, past couple of years.
Okay.
So yeah. We'll see if other Asian countries like Japan will start to have availability of medical marijuana. I mean, they see the rest of the world liberalizing their drug policies. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's such an interesting market to pay attention to, as you know, things are really so dynamic in this marketplace, and that's one thing that. You know, we've seen even at the Hartman Group with consumer engagement in cannabis. It's going deeper and deeper into more specific kinds of cannabinoids. Mm-hmm. So, you know, cannabis has dozens, I guess I would say, of different types of cannabinoids, THC and CBD being the two most commonly known, but you know, there's new products coming out that have different types of cannabinoids, like lesser known ones like CBG, CBN, CBC. And there's some research that's pointing to these specific cannabinoids as being avenues for treating and targeting specific illnesses and specific conditions. But, of course, a lot of research still needs to be done. There's still a lot of research that needs to happen in getting targeting those kinds of conditions and cannabinoids. And then also terpenes, terpenes being kind of the chemicals that give off those kinds of distinct flavors and smells in cannabinoids.
Right.
Those can also be a little bit more useful. And targeting specific conditions for therapeutic treatment. So those are some of the more deeply engaged cannabis consumers or those who are paying attention to those kinds of developments that go beyond just, you know, CBD and THC. Of course, those are hugely important markets, CBD and THC. But, of course, the market evolves, and this is where we're seeing it going right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, the trend we're also seeing in the food world of more plant-based foods being trending higher, more people wanting to use plant-based foods and beverages. And this is, cannabis is basically plant-based medicine, right? It's an herb. It grows out of the ground. And it's a rapidly developing industry, and a lot of investments are going on. And so just this past February, Jazz Pharmaceuticals, an Irish pharmaceutical-based company, they agreed to pay $7.6 billion to acquire GW Pharmaceuticals, which is a British developer of cannabis-based medications. One of their products is called Sativex, which is used for MS. And they also have other cannabis-based medicines used for seizures and epilepsy. So I think that's just the trend that's worth following. So.
Right, yeah. And we will continue to follow that here at the Hartman Group.
Exactly. Well, Robertson, it's high time we wrap up this podcast.